Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, the weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and before we begin this week's broadcast, I'm excited to share that this month marks the 10th anniversary of the Forum on World-Class IT. My sincerest thanks to all of our guests and our listeners who've made this podcast such a success over the past decade. I'm also delighted to announce that on December 3rd, we will rebrand our podcast as Technovation with Peter High. We have a lot of exciting guests lined up, so be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And as always, if you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you'd give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. My guest this week is Shalene Diogan. Shalene is the Chief Information Officer of Schneider National, a transportation and logistics provider with revenues exceeding $4 billion annually. Along with traditional CIO responsibilities, he has accountability for the company's business transformation, logistics engineering, and corporate venturing efforts. Shalene was recently the recipient of the Forbes CIO Innovation Award, which highlighted the company's in-cab telematics toolset. In this interview, Shalene asserts that in the age of instant gratification, every company must be a technology company, regardless of industry. Even as a trucking company, Shalene highlights how Schneider's ability to present timely information is crucial for their success, and how every aspect of Schneider National's value chain is impacted by technology. We also discuss how great competitors can make great customers, how they leverage technology to optimize load assignments from 373 trillion combinations, and the relationship between the CIO and the venture capital communities. We also highlight the company's multiple executives, including the Chief Executive Officer, Chris Lofgren, who were once Chief Information Officers of the organization. Shalene, welcome to the broadcast. It's great to speak with you today.
Peter, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to speak with you today. Shalene, likewise. I thought that we might begin with your role. You are the Chief Information Officer of Schneider National, based in Green Bay, Wisconsin. A company you've been with for nearly a decade now, but in a role as EVP and CIO that you've been in for a bit more than 3 years now. And I wonder if you could take a moment to talk a little bit about Schneider National's business and your role as CIO.
Yeah, so we're one of the nation's largest truckload carriers, Peter. We are one of the leaders in transportation and logistics. Obviously, the breadth of our business is large. We serve our customers through a very diverse set of offerings from over the road to intermodal, and then we have a pretty healthy logistics business as well. As you rightly said, I've been here for about a decade now. I'm 3 years into the CIO role. I am part of the executive team. I report to our president and CEO, and my accountability in terms of obviously the traditional CIO role, I also have accountability for business transformation, our logistics engineering efforts, as well as corporate venturing that we do as part of tech as well.
Excellent, Shalene. And I would love to sort of peel back the onion on several of those areas. It sounds as though there are several aspects of the business that are enabled by technology. And I know from our prior conversation that you mentioned that the vision for the organization is in many ways to be a technology company first, sort of a technology company masquerading as a trucking company. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about some of the strategic uses of technology within the organization, while perhaps highlighting some of the aspects of your plans.
Yes, absolutely. You know, what started off as almost a half joke with my boss, our CEO, Christopher Lofgren, a long time ago was, hey, we're really a technology company masquerading as a trucking company. And with what we see, that's more reality. And I think it's going to be more reality. It's going to be more and more true in the future. So, and this is not just Peter Schneider specific. I think I speak for the industry in general, where if you look at this value chain, transportation, trucking, logistics, every component of this value chain is directly impacted by technology. Like, whether it's the ability to be able to track your assets, the ability to be able to let your customers know where their freight is. We're living in the sort of age of instant gratifications where customers want information, right there and right now. And our ability to really, across the supply chain, be able to present that information externally to customers in near real time, and even internally to to be able to use information to make real or near real-time decisions is sort of crucial for success. So information availability and the ability to consume information, information coming from a diverse set of resources, assets, information that's structured, unstructured, coming from a lot of contextual and non-contextual sources, and that ability to bring that information together, you know, derive intelligence, for the lack of a better word, from it, and then use it to make decisions across this value chain is sort of rapidly becoming table stakes in this industry.
And you mentioned a moment ago that you also are involved in the venture fund within the organization. Can you talk a bit about that and how that's been structured?
Well, you know, technology has always been sort of part of our DNA. So we've always believed in being a pragmatic early adopter of technology. So the venture fund is probably something that we're now starting to look at, you know, investing in technologies that we believe add a lasting, really have an important role to play in our ecosystem. They enhance the life of enhance the sort of the experience of our associates, especially our driver associates. They actually help us serve our customers better. The venturing just becomes a vehicle to be able to go, partner with centers of innovation, maybe outside of Green Bay here, to be able to bring those solutions to market. But historically, we've always sort of being an early adopter, whether it was, one of the first in the industry to create a comprehensive suspect to cash program, suspect to cash platform with Oracle, we've always sort of been leading in terms of adopting technology and trying out new things with technology. So that is sort of continued, and this venturing, is not new, Peter. It's always sort of been part of our sort of DNA. But we're getting, with the opportunities that the consumerization of technology is presenting to us, we're starting to now go out and partner with, centers of innovation, like I mentioned, whether those centers of innovation are in Silicon Valley or elsewhere, to bring some of those products to the market that, A, help us internally, improve our customers' experiences, our drivers' experiences, but also sort of help us transform the industry as a whole. So we're starting to get a little more disciplined, a little more aggressive in sort of formalizing some of the things that I believe we've always done.
And are there specific technologies that are exciting you that you're investing in? Are there areas you're investigating and thinking about putting dollars and time and attention to?
Absolutely. As we look, I always talk about in the public domain that, at any point during the day, including now, Peter, we've got 100,000 digital assets in our network, right? Those digital assets are, tractors, trailers, containers, drivers with smart phones, other devices, whether it's data from the engines, sensors in the engines, we are deriving data from these edge points every single day, and there's billions of bytes of information flowing back and forth. So the ability to harness the power of that information is where we think the opportunity is, right? The ability to be able to be able to digest that data and in near real time make decisions on load acceptance, decisions that enhance our customer service, decisions that enhance our driver's experience in the cab. So that's where we believe the ability to be able to create platforms, whether there are platforms that help us harness the power of that information, is where the opportunity is, and and those are the investments we're making. So hopefully that answers your question, Peter.
Indeed, yes. And I wonder if you can take a moment to also talk about how the company and the industry is changing in terms of opportunities in using technology. You've talked about the ability of technology to change the way in which loads are planned, how they are reformulated, through the life of the drive from point A to point B. Can you talk a bit about the integration of technology into what one might think about as the sort of standard offering of trucking companies?
Yeah, and if you look at a large trucking, an asset-based carrier like ourselves, the ability to be able to accept loads and then accept loads that are conducive to our network and our ability to serve our customers, all that decision making around which loads to accept, you know, and how do we dispatch those loads? Which tractor or which driver and which trailer need to come together? I'll step back and say, for every assignment or load assignment, we're making 300, and there's about 373 trillion combinations that we're considering before a match is made. If you look at our over-the-road business, you know, you think of it as a typical three-way optimization problem. It's about, you know, matching a driver to a tractor and then bringing in the container or trailer. But it's also considerations like, time at home for the driver. It's considerations, regulatory considerations like hours of service, now ELD. And it's the ability to be able to mathematically, build that decision and make a decision incorporating all those constraints is what we do. And it's technology is at the heart of it.
That's very exciting. And I also wanted to ask you a bit more about, yours, you're in an unusual situation where one of your predecessors as CIO is in fact the CEO, your boss who you alluded to before, Christopher Lofgren. And so as such, you know, there are a lot of CIOs who have to make the case for the reasons to invest in technology or need to make the case, hopefully less and less today in terms of how strategic technology might be. But nevertheless, I'm sure you have peers who are in that unenviable position as well. I assume that is never a conversation. The starting point of your conversations, it is at a much higher plane, not to mention a much higher level of appreciation, perhaps curiosity about the use of technology. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that relationship and it is this sort of unusual situation you find yourself in.
I tell you, Peter, there are days where it's interesting to have a boss that actually had your a job. But overall, I'd say it's a great experience. And, you know, we obviously, with Chris Lofgren, who had the job, today on the executive team, we've got three folks that either, that have had the job or, if you include me, our chief administrative officer, Steve Matthews, had the CIO job. Christopher Lofgren, obviously had this job. So it's overall, I don't think I have to work very hard to make a case around how technology is impacting. But it's not just, Chris, right from our chief operating officer, Mark Rourke, everybody gets the importance of technology. Again, as I said, technology is inherent in our DNA. I would love to say, hey, it's me coming in and bringing in all these things that I'm sort of bringing in terms of, hey, this is what technology can do. I am enabling them and I'm accelerating obviously the adoption of these, but the understanding of how important technology is sort of embedded in our DNA. So there's never a discussion around if we're spending too much on technology or is technology the right solution in this place. And I think that's a great place to be where my peers and my boss appreciate the value that technology can bring and the disruption it is bringing to this industry. And we want to ride that wave of disruption. So overall, I'd say it's a very positive experience to have folks on the executive team who understand and appreciate the value of technology. Very seldom are we having discussions in our executive meetings around total cost of ownership or why, what is this going to cost? We're always pegging to the value we can deliver to the different stakeholders in our ecosystem, whether it's our customers or it's our drivers or our associates. It's great to have those conversations rather than more traditional conversations around what's the cost of creating these data centers. I mean, I can't think of a conversation in recent times where I've had to go justify something based on the cost of what that solution was. It's always a value-driven conversation and a value to the stakeholder sort of conversation.
Charlene, one of the very complex aspects of your business is that you have a degree of co-opetition in some ways. You partner with, for example, the Class 1 railroads, but you also compete with them to some degree as well. Not to mention the sort of partnerships that must be established at the within the intermodal aspect of what you do, that is taking loads from other companies and then either serving as the last mile, as the majority of the trip, the first mile in some cases as well. And so those touch points need to be evaluated and evaluated for value and efficiency and so forth as well. Can you talk a little bit about the role the technology plays in facilitating as well as parsing out some of those complexities?
Yeah, no, I'll take part one of your question, Peter. The fact that great customers today are becoming good competitors. Competitors are becoming customers. And we see that more often, and we're embracing it, right? And we're seeing that across the industry today, whether it's the railroads, whether it's the large e-tailers, without naming anyone, well, they're great customers, they're great competitors. And we see that role continuing to evolve and continue to switch back and forth, at least in the near future. As it relates to technology, you know, we've, just to make sure I get your question right, your question is, how is technology playing a role in, if you don't mind repeating the question, Peter, what was the second half of your question?
Absolutely. So the second part of it is, one of the complexities of your business is all the handoffs that are necessary. That there are, you know, you are beginning the journey of cargo or freight that then gets transferred to somebody else to take it on its next, you know, sort of part of the journey. You are taking, taking cargo off of ships or trains and delivering it the last mile. You are in some cases the entire journey. And the differences, the different parameters, the complexities of this business, I have to imagine the technology plays some role in evaluating efficiency and effectiveness of all that.
Absolutely, Peter. Thank you. It plays a huge role. Now, there are instances where our technology platform has helped bridge that gap. In fact, there are industries where we're basically connecting our customers to their customers through our platforms. And we play a significant role because we're sort of a part of that whole supply chain. So our platforms sort of bring in information, if you look at retail, we're connecting retailers to their suppliers, and they're using our platforms to sort of bridge the gap or bring information together, to create insight or to even enable their supply chains. That happens all the time. Now, in some cases, I talked about a logistics business where we're managing third-party carriers for our customers who are then using our platforms to create that supply chain visibility across their value chains. And in those cases, we might, in some cases, be a part of the move, as you say, or we might not be, where we're just bringing our platforms to bear, where our customers are leveraging our platforms to connect the dots, if you will. So technology plays an integral role in all those models, and we're operating in all those models. So I could give you examples especially if you look at the e-commerce side and you look at the final mile delivery that we're heavily engaged with, we're using our platforms to connect our customers to their suppliers right to the consumer, where the freight's being delivered. So technology is an integral part of all of this. Mobility plays a huge role. The ability to, use devices, commodity devices, to be able to distribute that information, to be able to capture signatures, and then connect information up and down that value chain is absolutely essential. And we're doing all of that through technology today.
Excellent. I wonder if you, as you look a few years out, what sort of technologies are particularly exciting you? Are there technology trends that you're beginning to investigate either personally or professionally that you highlight?
I think technology will not matter as much. It'll be very important, which is not to say you have to get it right, but through the commoditization of technology, I think the ability to be able to switch, I think life cycles of technologies are very short. I mean, we're seeing business models, evolve through technology that we're already seeing how they're going to get destroyed. So the life cycles are very different, but I do believe that technology continues to play a very important role, although through the commoditization of technology, the actual technology and will not matter as much. You know, I give you an example in the telematic space where historically we've had, hardware-centric solutions, right? When I talk about telematics, I talk about devices in the truck that bring in information from these moving assets back into the company. And we're seeing that evolve and that model move away from hardware into becoming more of a content-based marketplace. So when I talk about commoditization, the hardware is getting commoditized, but it's about content. So I think content's really ruling the roost and will continue to do so. This whole future of transportation, I think a marketplace will emerge where you'll see folks like us partner with other folks in this value chain and start to produce and collaborate with that content and create value for all participants in that marketplace, whether it's the driver, whether it's the customer, and whether it's anybody else, whether it's the warehousing guy or gal that's in there. So I believe content's going to be sort of the king, and the actual hardware and those sort of appliance-based things are sort of moving down the value chain, if you will.
Charlene, I also wanted to talk to you a bit about your engagement with the venture capital community. For some companies that are based, especially let's say in San Francisco or in the Bay Area, there is a natural tendency to get involved in some ways with VC. And I've actually found in some ways that the further you get from these centers of VC, the more unaware some CIOs are as to the tremendously symbiotic relationship that exists between the venture capital community and the CIO community, especially the portions of venture capital that are focused on the commercial or enterprise space. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about your own relationship with venture capital and how you've thought about it.
Yeah. Now, our relationship as Schneider with 8VC sort of goes back to us, co-investing in platform science and bringing that solution to the marketplace. I firmly believe, Peter, that there's a huge opportunity for traditional industries like us to sort of partner with, I call it centers of innovation and folks in the venture capital industry. What I've seen is, I think it can be as you talked about it in the context of it being very symbiotic. What I have seen with my experience, which is the reason of my relationship with 8VC, is I think there's a lot of value that gets created for someone that's in the industry, has a lot of domain expertise, but then can partner with folks in Silicon Valley, for example, in this case, that have the ability to basically, create an out of the possible sort of solution, which sometimes sort of gets in the way here because we know too much. It's our knowing within the industry sometimes that sort of impedes our ability to dream, if you will. And what I have seen personally with my relationship with 8VC is they're able to absorb what I have learned by being a practitioner, by having that domain expertise, but bringing that together with their ability to create tech-based businesses or tech-enabled businesses and being able to sort of create that hypothesis to say, hey, this is the art of the possible. Why couldn't we transform something? So to me, it's very symbiotic. It's been a great experience for me personally. And I think it brings great benefits to the enterprise as well, partnering with those centers of innovation and sort of creating that relationship. Hopefully that answers your question, Peter.
Excellent. It does. No, I appreciate that. Very good ad, Charlene. And thank you so much for joining us on the forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation, and it's been particularly interesting to get your perspectives on the evolution of the trucking business. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Peter, for this conversation as well.